God's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
The title of the message that I would like to bring this morning is, Why Are Men Condemned? Why are men condemned? Now, it is a fact that they are. My text is going to be John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, when the Lord tells us why men are condemned, but men are condemned. The Lord did say, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to life, and many there be that go in thereat. Not just a few, but many. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the gate, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many take that route. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Those are the words of the Lord. These are not the words of some red-faced, hellfire and brimstone preacher. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are men condemned? Verse 18 of John chapter 3, He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All men know intuitively that God is. Now, somebody may object to that and say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, that may be the case, but there was a time when you did. All men are born believing that God is. And all men are born believing that there is such a thing as right and wrong. You see, God's law is written on the heart of every man born into this world. Everybody knows it's wrong to murder. Everyone knows it's wrong to lie. Everyone knows it's wrong to steal. God's law is written on the heart of every man. And every man believes intuitively not only that God is and that there is a right and wrong because God is, everybody believes that God will reward the righteous and God will punish the wicked. There is a place called heaven where the righteous are rewarded, and there is a place called hell where the wicked are condemned. And everyone has this sense of right and wrong. I was watching a TV commercial the other day, and someone gave two very small children suckers. One was given a big sucker, big as a saucer, and the other one was just given one of those little bank suckers. And the one that was given the small sucker cried out immediately, "That's not fair." She felt like she was being done wrong. We all have a sense of fairness and a sense of right and wrong. Now, we read in verse 19 of the text, this is the condemnation. Why are men condemned? This is the condemnation. And that word condemnation is the same word that's usually translated judgment day. It's appointed for men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The place where God gives everybody exactly what they deserve. You will remember perhaps when the Lord said to that religious crowd in Capernaum, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment. And that's the same word than it will be for you. Now I want you to think about that. He says to this crowd who did not believe him, those people of Sodom, that place that was known for its moral perversity, they will fare better on judgment day than you will, who have rejected me. Now, I repeat, there's a place called heaven where God rewards the righteous, and there's a place called hell where the wicked are punished. And Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" Whatever he does is right. If I'm brought into heaven, it'll be right. If I'm sent to hell, it will be right. Men are judged according to their works. Read the account in Revelation chapter 20 of the great white throne judgment, where every man will be given exactly according to his works. Now, I think it's amazing. I'm guilty of it. You've been guilty of this. Men sitting in judgment on God, thinking God is too harsh in his judgments, or disagreeing with God's way of saving sinners. I think that that is most clearly seen in Romans chapter 9, where we read in verse 11 for the children, speaking of Jacob and Esau, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, Paul anticipates the objection we'll all make to this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God being unfair in loving Jacob and hating Esau, in counting Jacob his child and rejecting Esau? Is God being harsh and unfair and arbitrary in his judgments? Paul says, God forbid. God forbid. He has mercy on whom he will have mercy. In that same chapter, it says that he has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Same chapter. And Paul anticipates the objection he know we'll make as sitting in judgment on God, saying, well, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? If he hardened my heart, and how can I be held responsible for what I have done? If he hardened my heart, isn't that being harsh and unfair of God? Paul answers, nay, but O man, who are you to reply against God? You see, you and I are unfit to sit in judgment on God. What he does is right, and we are to bow to that and not sit in judgment on him in his condemnation. Now, why are men condemned? Well, the text tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. We're going to talk about why men are not condemned too. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why men are condemned, because they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now somebody may be thinking, well, what about people who have never heard his name? Well, we'll get back to that in a minute, but you have. So you don't need to worry about those people. You've heard his name in this message this morning and what his name means as I'm going to try to expound what the passage of Scripture is saying. Now, with regard to condemnation, did you know that according to the Scriptures, we're born condemned? Romans chapter 5, verse 18 says, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. You see, when Adam sinned, you and I sinned as well because we were in him. Romans 5:12 says, by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. Now, when Adam sinned, I sinned and you sinned. Somebody says, no, I didn't sin when Adam sinned. I wasn't even born. Well, you were in him. He was your representative. And when he sinned, you sinned and I sinned. And somebody says, I wouldn't have done it if I was left alone. Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would have. In Adam, the Scripture says, all die. And we're born into this world condemned. But let me read the rest of the verse of Scripture I just quoted. For as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now here's the gospel. If I can be condemned in Adam, I can be saved in Christ. Just as everyone was condemned that Adam represented that was in him, everybody in Christ, everybody he represents, shall be saved. That's the very heart of the gospel, salvation by Christ. He that believeth, the Lord says, on him is not condemned. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, why is it that one who believes is not condemned? Well, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Here is why the one who believes is not condemned. There's nothing to condemn him for. Now, somebody says, has he sinned? How is it you say that there's nothing to condemn him for? If Christ bore my sins, he put them away, and I stand before God without guilt, without sin, sinless, perfectly righteous. That's the hope of the gospel. Christ took my sin. That's why he died. He took my sin and it became his. And just as truly as my sin became his righteousness becomes mine. And that's why I will not be condemned. There's nothing to condemn me for. When the Lord looked at that woman who was taken in adultery and said, hath no man condemned thee? Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, how could he say that? Because there was nothing to condemn her for. Christ put away her sin, and she stood before the holy law of God, as every believer does, without guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now here's why men are condemned. Because they've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, before we go on, somebody's thinking about, what about the people that have never heard his name? What about people who have never heard the gospel? Well, that's a reasonable question, and let me try to answer that. Let's say a man is a serial killer, and he kills children, and he does so with malicious intent and enjoys doing it. He's a wicked man. He's committed horrible crimes. Now, if that man has never heard the gospel, what do we say? Well, he ought to be excused then. He shouldn't be punished and condemned. We wouldn't say that, would we? No, that man is to be punished because of his sin. And men go to hell not because they're not elect, not because Christ didn't die for them. They go to hell because of their sin. So all men are guilty in that sense, but the chief greatest sin there is, the sin of condemnation, is because men do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what is meant by the only begotten Son of God? According to Acts chapter 13, this begetting refers to his resurrection. That's how Paul used it when he talked about where that's quoted from Psalm 2:7, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And he tells us that speaking of the resurrection. And when David said that in Psalm 2, it was 1,000 years before the cross took place. You see, Christ is eternally the only begotten Son of God. Just as he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he's the lamb raised from the foundation of the world. And his begetting, this is really a reference to the cross, the only begotten Son of God, the one God raised from the dead. Well, he died. Why did he die? The cross. The cross is the greatest manifestation of the character of God. We cannot know who God is apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said we preach Christ crucified. That's our message. The cross is the most godlike thing God ever did. In the cross, God reveals his name. Now, by the name of God, that doesn't simply mean to verbally articulate his name. The name of God represents the person behind the name. Every attribute of God is made manifest in the cross. His justice, sin must be punished. His love, him giving his son for sinners. His wisdom in him making a way to be absolutely just, perfectly, absolutely just, and yet justifying somebody who in themselves are not just. What wisdom God displays in that. What power he displays in actually making my sin not to be and putting it away. What grace he manifests in giving his son. Every attribute of God, his purpose fulfilled, every attribute of God is manifest in his only begotten son. The name of his only begotten son. And the greatest crime anybody can commit is to hear of the name of the only begotten Son of God and not believe. That's why the Lord said to that group in Capernaum, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than it will for you on the day of judgment. Oh, the crime of not believing. That is why men are condemned. Because they've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what you've heard this morning, what I've heard this morning, renders us responsible before God. We've heard the name of the only begotten Son of God, the cross, the great manifestation of who God is. The cross is the great manifestation of who we are. God murderers. In and of ourselves. The cross is the great manifestation of God's salvation, how he saves by what Christ did on the cross. And to not believe? Look what the Lord goes on to say in verse 19 of this text. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now the light that he's speaking of is the light of how God can be just and justify the ungodly. You will remember after the Lord said to that woman taken in the very act of adultery, "I don't condemn you." The very next verse, he said, "I am the light of the world." I am the light as to how God can accept somebody and make them not guilty. And the scripture says men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When they hear the light of the gospel, you'd think they'd jump for joy. But they have no love for that light because their deeds are evil. You see, they're hoping. If I'm somebody that doesn't love the light of the gospel, it's because I'm hoping that somehow I can be saved by something I do. And if I'm told I can't be saved by anything that I do, that's taken away my only hope of salvation. And if God doesn't do something for me, I'll hate that message. And that's what these people do. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For he says in verse 20, everyone that doeth evil. Now, somebody says, I don't do evil. I might make mistakes, but I don't do evil. Well, if that is your response, it's because you've really not had revealed to you who God is. Because if you knew who God is, you'd know you're somebody that does evil. But that person who hates the light and doesn't come to the light is somebody that everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deed should be reproved or exposed. You see, the light shows that every deed that I have is sin. Do you believe that about yourself? I hope you do. Every deed, the good deeds, every deed I have, in and of itself is nothing more than sin. Now, if you believe that about yourself, you know what you're going to do? You're going to know your only hope of salvation is in what he has done, not in what you do. Oh, that's a blessed place to be. But let's read verse 21. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, why does God condemn men? Because they've not believed, willfully not believed on the name of his only begotten Son. They've loved darkness rather than light. But there are some who believe. And it's called in this 21st verse a doing of the truth. I love that. A doing of the truth. In the original, the definite article is used, he that doeth the truth. Now, the truth is objective. It's not subject to what you or I may think it is. It is what it is. And Christ said, I am the truth. He's the truth of the true character of God. He's the truth of the true character of man in the sense that we see what man is, we see what I am. When men were left to themselves, they nailed him to a cross. They hated him. And he's the truth concerning how God saves by the cross. He is the truth. Now, the truth is an objective message, but it becomes subjective when I become a doer of the truth. Let me read you some scriptures with regard to the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 says the coming to the knowledge of the truth is salvation. Titus 1:1 says the faith of God's elect is the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Repentance is called in 2 Timothy 2:25, repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Now, the objective truth becomes subjective when I become one who is a doer of the truth. Now let me give you four words that will explain what being a doer of the truth is. Number one, you must first hear the truth. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. There's no trusting until you've heard. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Here's the second word. First, you've heard. Second, you believe the truth. You believe what you've heard. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You believe the truth. And when you hear the truth and believe the truth, you know what you do? You worship God. They that worship him, our Lord said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is the response to belief. Worship. You worship him for who he is. And the fourth word is love. You love the truth. You hear the truth. You believe the truth. You worship the God of truth according to the truth of Scripture. And you love the truth. Paul warned of those who receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, it's one thing to say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's another thing to love that the Bible is the Word of God. It's one thing to say, you see, that the Bible teaches salvation is by grace. It's another thing to love that it teaches salvation by grace. It's one thing to say you believe that the Bible teaches that men are sinful and can't save themselves. You see that. It's another thing to see that you're the sinner that can't save yourself. That's when you come to the love of the truth. A doer of the truth is someone who hears, believes, worships, and loves the truth of the gospel. Now, the Lord says, he that doeth truth comes to the light. Unlike the man who hates the light, he comes to the light that his deeds might be made manifest that they're wrought in God. Now, what does that mean? My deeds, my personal deeds, were worked by God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid to bring that to the light. Why, even the faith I have is worked by God. I believe, but it's worked by God. I'm not afraid to bring the faith he worked to the light. The love I have is his gift. I'm not afraid to bring that to the light. See, everything the believer has is what God has done. Now, if I had to bring what I had done to the light, I'd be scared to death. But I bring what Christ has done as my personal doings. His righteousness is my righteousness before God, and I'm not afraid to bring that to the light. I know that I will be accepted because of him. Why are men condemned? Because they don't believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why are men saved? Because Jesus Christ died for them and gave them his righteousness. Now, I hope this message has been helpful. We have it on DVD and CD if you call the church right, or get a copy from our website. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.